You guys remember our lesson last week?
No.
No? If you were here. If you were here. How many of you were not here last week? I know you weren't here last week. All right. Okay. Now, we were talking about baggage last week. We all have... Last week, we were talking about baggage in terms of seeing other people's baggage, especially when they come to church for the first time, right? Every one of us that walk through that door in some way, shape, or form have some baggage in our lives. Some of them, some kind of mess, right? Well, last week we were focusing outwardly on other people. Now, this week what we're going to do is we're going to focus inwardly on yourself, your own baggage. Okay? Now, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And just camp out there for a second. This lesson is entitled Messy, Handling Our Own Baggage. Handling Our Own Baggage, okay? Every one of us views ourselves and someone else in some sort of lens. We put some sort of lens over our eyes. If you wear glasses, you kind of can think of that as being a visual example. Sometimes you can see clearly and sometimes you cannot. Why do we go get glasses? So we can see better. I don't normally wear glasses. Sometimes I do because I don't see things in sharpness. I don't have a distance or a closeness problem. Mine is sharpness. So if I drive at nighttime, the lines on the road and the lights and everything hinder my ability to see very well. So I have to wear glasses at night. Sometimes you'll see me wearing them during the day. We have to have glasses or lenses on our eyes to see things more clearly, right? Everyone in life that you deal with sees life through lenses. That's what we call a paradigm. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before or learned it before, but paradigm is what we use to interpret everything. You see life, you see this world, and you see God through some sort of lens. We see life through a lens. So when we read the scriptures, we're probably reading from the viewpoint of something already. Some of us have a wrong view of God, so when we read a verse in the Bible, we get a wrong idea that comes out of it because we don't understand who God really is. I want you guys to keep this thought in mind. Not only do we have lenses, but we also look in a mirror to see who we really are, don't we? The mirror is the lens that shows you who you really are. Now, that Bible that you guys have in your lap right now, that is a mirror. The Bible shows you exactly who you truly are before a holy God. The Bible shows you who God truly is and how you relate to Him. So when you see yourself in a mirror, you know, sometimes we could talk about how we see our imperfections more clearly, and that's not very fun. When you look in a mirror, when you try to do your makeup, girls, why you do makeup? Because I don't like this other stuff that's going on, so I want to smooth it all out, right? Well, we use a mirror to do that. I have a story about a mirror. Back in the day, sometimes it was kind of funny for girls in the girls' bathroom to hang out, and you'd put your lipstick on. And like a group of you would get together, and this particular group of girls kiss the mirror. Have you heard this illustration before? Okay. How many of you have never heard this illustration before? Okay, so please don't ruin it for the ones that... Okay, so these girls got together, and they put lipstick on their lips, and they would go about kissing the mirror every day so that they would leave marks on the mirror, and everybody would laugh about it whenever they came into the bathroom. You know how teenagers are, right? So the janitor would come in every day. The janitor would come in, and he would see those marks on the mirrors, and he would go, "That is... so greasy, nasty, and so hard to get off the mirror." And it would take the janitor a long time to clean that off the mirror. So the janitor goes to the principal's office and tells the principal, "Hey, you've got girls that are kissing the mirror, and they're putting marks on the mirror. It takes a long time for me to clean, and it's really hard to do. Would you please tell them not to do that again?" So the principal says, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." So she leans over and pushes the button for the intercom system and says, "You girls that are kissing the mirror, would you please quit?" in front of everybody in the school. Well, the girls sitting in class look at each other, they start smirking. I know how you do. Okay? They start smirking, and they're like, oh, yeah, really? So they go back, and now we have twice the amount of kiss marks that we had before because the girls were like, I'll show you. So they go mark up all the mirrors and everything. All right, well, the next time the janitor comes in, he sees the marks all over the mirror, and he's like, really? And so he goes back to the principal's office and tells the principal what happened. So the principal gets this wise idea. So they get all the girls together. They bring them into the bathroom. While the principal is talking, the principal says to the girls, all right, guys, I want you to understand how hard this is for our janitor to clean this up. And you guys are not being very respectful of his job. So, janitor, would you please show us how long it takes you to scrub those marks off the mirrors? He says, yes, I will. So he grabs the squeegee out of his mop bucket, sticks it in the toilet, and starts cleaning the mirrors off. And he wipes, goes back to the toilet, and he wipes, goes back to the toilet, and he wipes. Till finally he gets it cleaned off, and the girls are horrified. You think they probably got the hint? You think they got the idea? Now, sometimes, now this doesn't, it's not just girls. All of us think when we look in the mirror, sometimes we're a little bit higher than we are. Or we try to live our life as if I'm going to try to live it through someone else. Or if you were in our small group Sunday night, we talked about hating yourself. You have a self-hatred, and so you invariably try to live your life not trying to be you. So we look through a mirror, and when we see ourselves in that mirror, we don't see ourselves for who we really are. Tonight, I want you to take a different look at yourself. When you look in the mirror, I want you to see yourself for who you really are, and I want you to deal with those problems and that baggage that you have in your life. See, what we do when we have baggage and we have problems is we try to act like they're not there so that we don't show anybody else we have issues. Well, God is demanding you to be truthful. God is demanding you that you be truthful to Him. Tell God the truth and be truthful to others. The Bible says not to think yourself more highly than you ought to, but you should think of yourself with sober judgment. If you were here last week, you saw me ridiculously holding all of this baggage on my shoulders, carrying it around, and you guys remember this, right? Yeah. And you were laughing at me, weren't you? Because my baggage looked ridiculous, didn't it? I looked burned out. Burdened or burned? Burdened. So we do have all this baggage. And remember when I came to sit down by somebody because I'm new in church and I've got all these problems. Now Alan's being really nice to me because he already knows what I'm doing with this. But for the most part, if you're new in church and you get invited and you see that there's a seat to sit somewhere, but you don't have a friend to sit with, so you sit by somebody. Sometimes how do we feel when we got all this baggage in our lives? Pardon me. We feel a little bit embarrassed, don't we? I want you guys to look at it from this aspect now. Jesus took all your baggage and nailed it to the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus, when he saw you and all of the baggage that you would have in your life, we're talking about sin, we're talking about family issues, we're talking about issues with friends. He took that and he nailed it to the cross 2,000 years ago. So all of the baggage and all of the weight that you've been carrying on your shoulders is not necessary because Jesus took it 2,000 years ago. When he was hanging on the cross, you can picture in your mind Jesus taking the wrath of God on his shoulders, saw you and saw all of your problems and all of your issues and all of your sins. And he saw all of that baggage that you have in your lives, and he had it on his shoulders. And he asked the question several times, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because all of your baggage was blocking God's view of his son. Now, with that in mind, let's read Hebrews 12, verse 1. If somebody could read that for me, please. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Okay, so in this verse here, your life can be envisioned as a race. Some of us run slow, some of us run fast, but we are in a race. Some of us will finish and some of us will give up. Now, what the writer in Hebrews is telling us here, what is he telling us to do with our baggage?
Take it off.
Strip it off. Take it off. Why? We don't need it. It weighs us down, makes us slower. Anybody know anybody that's been in the military and they tell you like what boot camp is like, and they tell you that they've got this like 50-pound bag on their back and they've got to run several miles with this thing on their back, how hard that is and how much that conditions them? But all of us normal people probably couldn't do that because we haven't been conditioned to do so. Read verse 2 for me if you would, or somebody else want to read verse 2 for me. So if we see our life as a race, and he says to throw off the weight, throw off the burdens, throw off the baggage that you have in your life, throw off the misery, throw off the things that are keeping you from running the race with a clear path. Guys, as a believer in Christ, when you came to Jesus Christ as and made him your Lord and Savior, you began a race. You got into the Olympics. When we bring our former life with us and we try to drag that dead man, that dead body that we used to be with us on that course, it makes us run slower, doesn't it? It makes us stumble, doesn't it? It makes us trip up. So how do we get rid of all of that? We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he's the one that wrote the whole story. That's the way you could translate that. Now, when we look at the baggage we've been carrying in our lives, it is difficult to understand what is true and false about ourselves, others, and God. We call this misbeliefs. All right, I'm going to go back to this. You have a choice, guys. Can anybody associate with me that you had some baggage, you've got some baggage in your life? Is anybody going to be real? Because I am. I want you to look at this. When last week, when I was putting this on my shoulders, what were you all looking at? Me struggling? How you're looking? How ridiculous I was looking at? And remember when I told you guys look through the baggage to see to the person? Now I told you to do that with other people. We need to do that with ourselves too. When we focus, and when I look back in my life, this is my childhood right here. This is my baggage of my childhood. This is all of the things I carry with me that my mom and my dad did and said to me that I still have, that still weigh me down. It still makes me feel incomplete, still makes me feel like I'm not worthy. I have rejection problems. I have a fear of rejection. And when I get rejected, and this hurts me in my current relationships now, because when I date, or if I have friends and I feel like they're rejecting me, they may not even be rejecting me, but what I feel like's coming from them is rejection. I get mad. I deal with it in angry ways. But it's only because I've got this baggage, right? And I think we get defensive of our baggage. You don't know my past. Remember, we talked about that last week. You don't know what I've been through, right? Okay, so I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to keep it a part of my life, and then you need to make sure that you don't touch this area so I feel better. Here's the problem. When we look at the baggage, it's difficult to understand what is true and false about ourselves, about others, and God. I want you to focus on this word tonight, misbeliefs. Misbeliefs. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Also could be worded this way, what you think becomes the way you behave. Did you know that the way you think becomes the way you behave? The way you believe becomes the way you act. That's why just merely saying that you believe in Jesus Christ means nothing without works, without a life that shows those actions. The way you think is the way you behave. Now, here's what you guys mostly are dealing with in your life right now. You're dealing with some guilt. You have self-consciousness, like you have self-conscious issues, and despair from loss. Despair from loss. Emotional behaviors and anxieties and depressions and things that we deal with in life are all due to loss. I want you to think about that. What things do we value in life? You can answer this question. What kind of things do we value in our lives? Acceptance. You value phones, money, items. That's what you value? Memories. Family. I heard family. What do you value? What's the most valuable things to you? Time. Your vehicle. Friends. Your daughter. Yes. My son. I value my son. Purity. Okay. What else, guys? What about acceptance from parents? No, you're lying to me. No, you're lying to me. Y'all just told me no, and I know you're lying to me. Why did you just say no? Huh? Because you don't get it. You don't receive it. So why would you answer no? You don't receive it. So you're angry. Am I hitting a nerve? I mean, is that right? We get angry. We don't get accepted. Love. What about love? Is that something we value? I value love. The reason why we act the way we do and behave the way we do is because the things that we value the most are taken from us, and we don't know why. These other things here also, you know, guilt and self-consciousness, all of that really is rooted in what I believe is this. We're all reacting and responding. Why did you guys say no? I don't need that from my parents. Are you telling me the truth? They crave it. And they're mad, and we're mad, right? Okay, so let me move on from there. Here's what it says in James. All of these feelings that come up because of loss are what we call the fruit of the flesh. We get mad, we get angry because we don't get the life we think we deserve. Sometimes we try to live our lives through an image. We're trying to make a self-image of ourselves that we can accept or that others can accept, so that you could get some praise and some glory and some honor for yourself, so you feel better. James says, in the book of James, James 3:13, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous, why would we get bitterly jealous? Because we don't have what we want, right? Okay. And there is selfish ambition in your heart. Don't cover it up with the truth. Or I'm sorry, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Remember this verse from last week? For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Did you know that that's demonic? It's unspiritual to be selfish? For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil, and evil of every kind. So, that word misbeliefs generally appear as truth to the person. That is partly because they often do contain some shred of truth. And I'm going to show you guys examples of this. We say these kinds of things to ourselves all the time, okay? I want to show you what that means. Partly because the sufferer, who's the sufferer? us, right? The sufferer has never examined or questioned these false assumptions. You ever talk to yourself? You know that you're sane if you do. You're sane if you talk to yourself. You ever have a thought that you have to go, I don't accept that. That's not me. Okay, guys, listen to this.
So I go to get the milk from the refrigerator, and I pour it into the cereal. And after that, I get the bowl of cereal that I was going to eat, and I take it back to the pantry for some reason. And I think to myself, what the heck am I doing? Thank you.
You ever, I found myself going to the kitchen, like, trying to find something to eat, and I put the remote in the... I mean, come on, is it really so insane that we have to talk to ourselves because we get strange thoughts? Thoughts that... You were on the phone with your mom and you had to hang up to tell your mom to find your phone. You were looking for your shoes and they were on you. Guys, these are great examples. Are we insane? Okay, is it okay to be insane? Is it normal? Here's where our problems lie in life. Back to the lesson, guys. Misbeliefs. We have a lot of misbeliefs. We have a lot of false things, the messages that come through our minds. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said he was the what? Okay. The only way to combat misbeliefs in your life is through Jesus Christ. The world has no hope. We have Jesus Christ in our life, and he is the truth, the way. Here's another one where Jesus says, and he's saying, if you come to me, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? The truth will set you free. Okay, these misbeliefs and this baggage that we have in our life is weighing us down, keeping us from the race. What is going to set us free? The truth. Now, I have some misbeliefs I want to share with you guys. This is not mine personally, but I want us to start thinking. Misbelief number one. Anybody do this one? I must please people. Anybody struggle with this? If you want to share, I must please people. Okay. We spend our whole life doing and acting in order to please our parents or please someone else. Is this something that is good for us? So what's the truth? The Christian doesn't need to find approval from people, but from God. I don't need to find your approval, Jaron. I don't need to find your approval, Mad Dog. Because if I was, I would have failed a long time ago. I probably have already. What should my focus be? Please God, right? I need to please God. So I must do what that says. I must be in that, reading it, praying, focused on the Word of God. If I please God and people aren't okay with me, God will take care of those situations. The Bible says in Proverbs that a righteous man will even make peace with his enemies. Even his enemies will be at peace with him. And I like that. The next one. Anybody tell themselves this? Why? Why do we tell ourselves that? I can't do anything right. It comes from our upbringing. It comes from our upbringing, right? Parents? We look at the negative. That's good. You looked like you were getting ready to say something. I can't do anything right. Huh. Self-doubt. Your parents have told you that before. Is this good for us? Is this really true? Are there some things that we can do good, do well? We're just not as talented as other people in some areas. That's true, right? So if we tell ourselves, I do have talents and gifts, even if I fail in something, it's not the end of the world. Did you know that failure is not the end of the world? But we tend to act like it is. Next one, misbelief. I don't need anyone anymore. Okay, just a second ago, I was standing right here, and I said, parents, and what did you say? I don't need them. Don't want their acceptance. It's really close to this. I don't need anyone anymore. I can't trust people because they always let me down. Yeah, that is a misbelief. You guys know that that's all this right here? That's your backpack. That's your bag. I would be carrying some more luggage with me if I felt like it. But guys, all of these misbeliefs is more baggage that we carry with us our whole lives. Our entire lives. And we live and we have relationships with people and we relate to them according to our baggage. And so Alan and I might be really close friends. And I do consider Alan a close friend of mine. But sometimes when we have disagreements, because you poked at my baggage. Don't touch my baggage. It looks nice on me. It doesn't look nice on me after years and years and years of wearing me down, right? What do we start doing whenever we've got a lot of baggage in our lives? You can isolate. That's one way of dealing with it, is you isolate, you get yourself away from people because you just can't trust people. They always let me down. And so I keep this with me all the time. And it's almost like, remember we talked about the dirty diaper? It's warm and it's mine. This kind of shelters me from you. I don't want near you. This keeps me isolated. But guys, that's not good. It's an unhealthy way of living. What's the truth? God gave me a desire to be loved and to love. Even if I have been hurt, I know that God can still place people in my life that truly love me. Is that true? So should we stay guarded our entire lives? Should we keep that baggage with us? Don't touch my baggage. No, we're supposed to get rid of the baggage. We're supposed to throw off the weight and the sin that so easily entangles. Misbelief. It will be horrible if nobody talks to me at social gap. We don't have problems with that. We have no problem with that in this youth room. But how many of you do struggle with this? It will be horrible if no one talks to me at social gatherings or if I don't know the people. Basically, the misbelief behind this is I don't want to go. I don't want to go because there's no one there that I know. Okay. Some people do that, though. Misbelief, here. It is terrible to feel self-conscious and nervous. Listen up, guys. It is terrible to feel self-conscious. How many of us, we respond and react that way, we live that way? It is a horrible thing. I feel self-conscious, I feel nervous. This is bad. Run. Get out of there. Actually, running is not the answer. The truth is, I can enjoy myself wherever I go. You don't have to let those things keep you from living life. And I do not need the acceptance of others in order to have a good time. I do not need other people's acceptance. Now, the truth is, to this one, feelings of self-consciousness won't kill me. Does nervousness kill you? How nervous were you the first time you sang? You even had to walk out, right? Did it kill you? Did you come back up here the next week and keep singing? Air five. You know what I'm saying? You get through it, right? So even when you mess up, it happens. Is it the worst thing in the world when we mess up? You get scared, you get nervous. The next time you do it, it's not easy, but you still go through it. Why do you do it? Because you're obeying God. You want to do God's will. What you think and believe determines how you feel and what you do. Very true. You think downward? Yes. Your mind and your actions go downward. You think upward? Your mind and your actions go upward. Now, here's the one that's the biggest hindrance. I got to talk about it, guys. What's the biggest hindrance? Yeah, we've had things happen to us. People have hurt us. Other people hurt us. But the things that we do to ourselves are more harmful and more damaging than the things that other people have done to us. Because what we do is that our baggage, our misbeliefs can lead us into sinning against God, and sin can lead us into more misbeliefs. So we get on this cycle. I've been hurt. I've been raised in an imperfect world, an imperfect situation. So I go act out. I go lash out. I go do things that are sinful, that I know are wrong. And those sinful things that I know are wrong are leading to more misbeliefs that are leading me more into a spiral of not knowing who God is. And so I act and behave wrong. I act and behave badly. So I spiral. More misbelief, more baggage, more sin. More misbelief, more baggage, more sin. More misbelief, more baggage, more sin. And it adds. Brother Allen has this ball in his office, and it's just rubber bands. Just a rubber band ball. Have you guys seen a rubber band ball before? So our brains, our lives, are like this rubber band ball, and I'm holding it here, see? And so we have this rubber band ball, and these rubber bands are just intertwined all over the place, but they add layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And everything is interconnected. The sin and the misbelief and the problems and the things that have happened to us in our life create layers and layers and layers and layers of these rubber bands. How are we going to become free? Pulling one rubber band out at a time, right? How are you going to run free? Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off the weight of the things of the past. What's it say in Hebrews 12:1? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The only way we can do this is we must keep our eyes on Jesus and not our baggage, not the distractions. 2 weeks ago, we talked about distractions. Last week, we talked about baggage. This week, we're talking about misbeliefs. Those things are going to keep you. If you focus on those things, they'll keep you from focusing on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only focus we should really have in our lives. Even the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life in Philippians, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ, and I want to live for Jesus Christ, and I want to please God. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross. He disregarded the shame, which is our baggage. Now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you will not become weary and give up. How many of you are getting tired right now and you feel like giving up on listening? Listen, that shows a sign of weakness in your flesh, doesn't it? What did Jesus tell Peter? What did Jesus tell the disciples? Stay up and pray, or else you'll enter into temptation. Guys, if you're not listening right now, you're not going to hear something that may help you in an hour of temptation. Then you will not become weary and give up. Guys, we must not give up. You know what I tell somebody that's struggling with sin? Somebody that's struggling with pornography. Somebody that's struggling with alcoholism. Somebody that's struggling with negative thinking. Somebody that's struggling in their life with something that it seems like it's attacking them and they can't get rid of it. You know what the one thing that we must do is? Never give up. What does it mean to give up? Tell me what it means to give up in these battles. So what does it look like? You stop your Christianity, or you stop believing that God has a good purpose for you, right? You let the other side win. You give in more and more. Stop reading the Bible. Stop praying. Stop seeing people at church. Stop believing. And then what happens? Misery. Who wants to be miserable? If you want to be miserable, give up. If you want to be miserable, stop praying. If you're miserable right now, there must be something out of balance, right? So don't give up. The temptation that Satan wants us to have or to give into is to give up doing God's will. Don't give up doing God's will. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and you won't become weary and give up. Now, whatever you're going through in life, it doesn't matter, you know, really doesn't matter what your behavior pattern is. I have students that come into my office that have different behavior patterns. I don't try to change your behavior. If you're a person that's really brash, or if you're a person that's really quiet, or if you're a person that has a problem cussing, or if you're a person that has a problem with pornography, or if you're a person that has a problem with the outside surface being raw or being, I don't know what other words I'm looking for, the outside surface is rough. I look through the baggage to see to the person. And I want to know how that person is related to God. And if the person's not saved, then I know that the source of their problem is that they're not saved and they're dead in their sins. If the person is saved, it's because they're not, more than likely, they've gotten somewhere outside of God's will and they didn't know it or didn't realize it. But we have to look to the heart of the problem. Just this week, I had dealt with some things in the youth group that were some things that were really nasty. Some things were being said to other people that were really nasty. And it was a little bit discouraging when I saw that. But you know, I could go on and on and on and on about the things that the people say to each other. And I could change the way they talk to each other at church, but is that going to change their heart? No. What's going to change their heart? The Lord's going to change their heart, and they're going to have to want it, right? They need to want Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the perfecter, the author, and the finisher of your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to meet here, to talk about your word, to talk about the greatness of Jesus Christ and everything that he did for us, Lord. That because of all of the things that we've done, even yet, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You sought us out, Lord. You knew that you would have to be patient with us. And your patience is a patience that is long. Your patience is slow to anger, abounding in love. And Lord, I thank you so much for that, especially in my life, that your anger is slow. You're not quick to anger like we are normally. You're not a God that brings down judgment instantaneously when I fail. But you long for me to repent. You long for a relationship with me. And you long that for others. I just pray, God, that we as a body here would not take that for granted, Lord. Not just brush it aside. Instead of focusing on Jesus Christ, focusing on the baggage and the things of the world, the sins and the lusts, the distractions. I pray, God, that we would focus on Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on him. And I pray that by that, we would grow and we would all become more mature in our faith. I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.